the Jameson Castmates and Tonics Social Serve Series on Off the Ball. Always remember to drink responsibly.
Lads, very warm welcome to Jameson Distillery. Brian, hope you're well.
Morning,
Nathan, how are you?
How are you?
Good things. We're in the heart of the distillery in John Jameson's secret office. He moved over here with his wife Margaret in 1780 and set up shop in the distillery. Fast forward 240 years, we're in here. Adriano is going to prepare you a Jameson Castmates and Tonic. The Castmates whiskey itself has been matured in an IPA barrel, beer barrel. And we're just going to finish it off with a very refreshing tonic and a wedge of lemon up on top for good measure. John himself was known to host a lot of very brilliant parties here late at night in the distillery. Lots of Dublin's most colourful characters used to pop in for a drink. Fast forward 240 years, here we are together. Lads, hope you enjoy. Sláinte. Cheers.
Sláinte.
Sláinte.
Brian, our barman Adriano was telling us his story of goalkeeping around the world. I was thinking it was great to have a very helpful goalkeeper, and I was brought back to thinking about your old mate Dudu, the Israeli goalkeeper at the end of that game in the World Cup qualifier. Do you still have nightmares about him?
Well, fair play to you for pulling his name out. I wouldn't have, I wouldn't have great memories.
You don't have a dartboard at home?
I actually am quite dismissive of anything that happened where it didn't go well with nearly any team I had. I mean, even going back to managing St. Pat's and we lost the cup final in a replay, and we're leading the first game 1-0 and Shells were down to 10 men. The goalkeeper had been put off, a county man of yours, and they rescued Tony Sheridan's great goal. And then they beat us in the replay. We had a penalty to go ahead in the second half. I missed it. And I'm quite dismissive of those instances and the couple of international matches we lost. I've memory of Henri's goal in Dublin, which I still claim was a slight deflection off Kenny Cunningham in that looped it over Shea Given's head.
What does Kenny say when you remind him of that?
Well, I don't remind him of him. He would probably say that he, being his own critical self, he probably thought he should have got a bit close to him before he hit it. But anyway, other than that, I don't have much thoughts about any games that didn't go so well. And I mean, the Israeli one, for lots of Irish soccer fans, probably remember it because the goalkeeper spent half the match lying on the ground trying to get treatment, awaiting treatment of the referee. Greek referee let him away with it. And didn't end up on sufficient injury time, considering how often it went on. But, you know, the key thing, the game, we were 2-0. And we allowed them to get back to 2-2, very fortunate goals, penalty kick for a handball, and a header from a lad that said he never headed a ball as well in his life before or since. And but other than that, I don't think too much about those things.
What are your memories of actually getting the job and the day you got the job and when you got the call?
Well, I was actually in the UAE when I got the call. We had an under-19 team playing the tournament, a four-team tournament. We had already won our first two games. We were playing France in the last match. I got a call late at night from Kevin Fahey, who was the acting CEO of the FAI at the time, to say that the job was mine. They'd gone through a process of interviews. I'd had two interviews, and that they would like to meet me to discuss it. And I was kind of pleased. I knew I was in with a reasonable show after the process of the interviews. I mean, it had been cut down to a short list. I don't know how many, maybe it might have been six. But I knew I was in with a reasonable chance. But I was still surprised, delighted, elated. I remember calling Noel. He was sleeping in the room across me. It was probably 1 or 2 in the morning. And I called his room and I said, look, I need to have a chat with you. And I went over to him and I told him, and we had a fairly emotional hug, and we had a bit of a laugh about it, and said, but we need to get out with a win tomorrow. We need to go, we need to win this little tournament and go home as winners. And that was it. And we went the next day, and funny, a lot of the Irish people in Abu Dhabi had organized banners and so on, and my name on it, you know, and it was kind of, they didn't know what I knew, and I couldn't tell anyone until I had to go back to London to meet some of the heads from the FAI to discuss the whole scene and the deal and whatever. And I met with Chris Hughton there, because I'd already primed Chris that if I got the job, I would like him to come with me. So I met Chris in London. We went to a hotel with my agent, Fintan Drury, and my brother Frankie, who was living in London, met us at the hotel near Heathrow as well. So we had, so it was lovely. But the official unveiling, if you want to call it that, was in the Shelbourne Hotel.
At your insistence, I imagine.
Not at all.
I don't think
I've been in the Shelbourne Hotel too often, Prezi. Maybe the odd dinner, awards dinner or something. But no, I hadn't. It wasn't my call. But it was a lovely occasion, because it appeared like anyone who I'd ever dealt with in football turned up.
And that was pretty much everybody in Ireland.
Well, there was a lot of people there. There was a lot of friendly faces and fellas who I had tackled over the years in my high-level playing career in the Amateur League and the AUL. faces turned up. Leinster Senior League as well, I played in a bit. There was lots of faces of managers and players and coaches and blokes just that I knew, that were there, that were delighted, I think. And then, you know, my biggest pal through my childhood years was Eamon Coughlin. And he actually flew in from Boston that morning to be there, you know. He I didn't know that. I just saw him in the room and I couldn't believe it. I knew he was away a lot. And he told me after he'd flown in that morning, especially because it was such a big day for him, for me. Because, you know, as kids, we ran a lot together. We played football, we played a lot of sport. But we chiefly ran and played soccer together for the same team in the same club.
Was there ever a time when you were faster than Eamon Coughlin?
No, not often. I was generally 30, 40 yards behind him. That was over 100 yards.
You weren't the hare for him, were you, where you'd set off 100
meters
in advance?
Maybe a little bit. I mean, it was one day, I caught up on him one day in a cross-country race down in Selbridge. It was the Leinster under 15 championships, and I caught up on him. And I knew there was something wrong, you know. I actually caught up and I was quite near the top of the field. I said, "What's wrong with you?" And he said, "A ferocious itch, you keep going." And I went, this isn't feel right. He'll get going again, he got away. And he did. I think he finished about 8th and I was 16th. But we were 2 years under the age at that time. But we ran and played a lot together. And when you and me turns out to be the world champion, at 5,000 metres. It was such a great day for me. It was so close for him. The two previous Olympics where he'd finished 4th was devastating for him and devastating for people that knew him, I think. I remember being so upset about it. And he was such a brilliant runner. He was such a great bloke. And he turns out to be the world champion. So for him...
And does that have a big effect on you? Because you've grown up together. You see that actually... somebody who's a very normal guy can go on and conquer the world.
Champion.
Like, does that actually have an effect on you? And you
I think where we played and from the environment we came from, we understood that it was special. There was a special day today. It was like the Olympics every day in the field in Drimnagh where we played, just at the back of the Crumlin Hospital. There was matches in all sorts of sports every day. I mean, when Wimbledon was on and we might be playing tennis with some sort of makey up bats. When the cricket was on, we were playing cricket. We were playing rounders. We played a lot of Gaa. We played a lot of Gaa. We played a lot of hurling. But there was a lot of running. A lot of running around the field. We used to have these long races. And they were won by whoever stayed running the longest. That's how it wasn't like 10 laps or 5. And he won. He stayed running. So there was this competitive edge to the football as well.
When you say special, do you mean that in a nostalgic way? And that we all look back to when you look back, there was a special standard.
Well, there was players playing in the field like that played international for Ireland. It was Kevin Morton, Pat Bourne, Gerry Ryan, Tony Ward. They all come down and played in that field. There was lots of other guys who played
at a decent level. Was this every day after school?
This was every day in the summer. This was every day in the school holidays in the summer. After school, it wasn't so much because it was dark in the winter. Yeah. So I played on the roads in Inchicore. I went to St. Michael's in Inchicore. And then I went to James Street. So after school was Gaelic stuff. I had a lot of Gaelic training after school and Gaelic matches after school. But I played soccer like incessantly up until I was 12, 13, and then there was a lot of Gaelic. Then there was soccer training nights with me, with my club in the night time was Gaelic after school. But I meant the field in Drimnagh was so competitive. We probably didn't know how competitive it was, but the standard was very good. You had to be good to get a game in the best match in that field. There was 4 or 5 matches taking place. And that was the environment I started managing in that field. I played, there was a road leagues in Walkinstown. I played under 13 and a half was the age group, but there was an under 11 age group And that was my first team to manage. I picked the team, picked the group of lads. Well, I was playing under 13 and a half. I was under 13 and a half. I still got the results of that at home. I found my kids found a copybook in the attic a few years ago where I had all the results and the names of the players and the teams and the scores and all that in it. And
were you winning?
We were winning, yeah. We won it. We won it, as you do. We won it.
Was there complicated tactics? Who were you modelling yourself
on? No, it was seven aside. It was seven. Well, my heroes of managers at that time was Billy Nicholson. I mean, I was aware of Busby and all the other managers at the time. But, you know, Billy Nicholson, the manager of Spurs, was the one that I kind of admired. Yeah, Spurs won the double and won the cup then the following year. And, they were the team I admired most, but you know, so I didn't. But it was the managers of Pats that I used to see on a weekly basis. I remember Gerry Doyle managing Pats and John Coltrane. He played for Celtic. Managed Glenn Tordon, George Lax, various managers when I was a young man. I used to think they had these extraordinary powers that if they were losing, the team was losing 4-0 at half time, that they could turn it around. I mean, there was games that was at managers turned around, they might get it back to 4-2, but I thought they were brilliant that they could do that, they could have this influence on the team. So I was always interested in that idea that the manager could have some power, that he could make players play better or something.
I used to look at it.
Yeah, there was a magic to it. So that intrigued me, and it also attracted me, and I liked the idea of managing. When I was young, I used to think I could affect the game much more than I was a player. When I was a player, I felt I was struggling with these other 10, that I could be the best player and the other 10 might be good enough. We couldn't win the game. But when I was the manager, I could affect all 11 of them and make us be better, by whether it was the tactics or by the encouragement or by the words or by the changes I could make.
So it wasn't the case that actually, as you say, you were going out into the field during the summer and you were surrounded by future Ireland internationals, guys like Kevin Moran, and you were thinking, oh, I'm not as good as these guys, I need to go down a different route.
I kind of got a bigger kick out of organising and managing teams. And then as it progressed, people used to ask me to do that rather than play. Like, I was getting asked to manage teams in the League of Ireland, to manage a reserve team. Like Shamrock Rovers, Liam Toohey brought me to Shamrock Rovers when I was 20 to manage the U team at Shamrock Rovers. You know, that was a big deal. And then I was asked down to Shelbourne to manage the reserve team when I was 22, I think, which you're managing men and you're still a young man yourself. So that was kind of exciting, but it also led me to maybe be less dedicated to my own performance or development as a player, and I understood my own deficiencies, and there were certainly plenty of them. So it was a beautiful job, and it was a lovely existence. There was pressure. And there was times where it was hard to have private time, but still it was respect. And, you know, I enjoyed it. Not every, Joseph Venglos, a friend of mine was sitting beside Joseph Venglos, and he didn't know who he was for a long time. I had a conference, a friend of mine, Liam Moggan.
He was former Villa manager.
He was former Celtic manager and manager of the Czech Republic, Czechoslovakia. A great man, a lovely man. He was sitting beside him and he realised who he was one day. And he said, how was it in Glasgow? Did you enjoy managing Celtic? And he said, yes, he said, but not every day easy, not every day nice. And I thought it was a great phrase for life and for managing Ireland or for, you know, doing a tough job. But it was brilliant. It was such an exciting, exhilarating time. The days of the match were just extraordinary. The feeling, the buzz around the game, the preparation for the game, the drive to the ground particularly was so memorable, because when we got closer and closer to the ground, the buzz, the people going to the train station, going into the trains, dressed up in the colours as we come up the North Strand by the Third Star Street and the train station, people coming home from work, trying to get into the station to get there, and going across the bridge and down the quays and then, you know, out past Windmill Lane, out that way. And then as we got closer to the ground and came along kind of Haddington Road and past those pubs, and the busman had beat the horn and the crowd would all get up and they'd wave and sing. And it was, and then as we got closer, I'd kind of be looking out and I'd see so many faces. I knew it almost looked like a lot of my mates had lined up to be there. And then when we got to ground, some of the security staff was funny. There was always security staff who had played with me. Alan Lyons had played for me, Alan Reddy. They'd be waiting when I got out of the bus and ask them to carry me back. You know, and I'd laugh and I'd say something like, Jesus, you never offered to carry me back when I was playing for
Prince
Bluebell.
And
I was playing for Bluebell with you, you know. But they were enjoying that kind of whatever it was, the buzz around being involved and knowing someone. So it was brilliant. And then the stadium always been full. That's all I remember. The stadium was always full. There was always attention. I mean, it was the old stadium, and there was a character to it. Maybe the dressing room was too short and it too small rather, and ill shaped. But there was a magic to it. And you know, my memory of it was that the stadium was always full. Friendlies against Canada, Norway, China. In the early days, that's who we were playing, because that's what was thrown onto me. But after that, we got much better at it. I began to hustle for better friendlies myself, and we played Brazil and Italy and Croatia and Portugal, and they were great games. Apart from the tension of the qualification games themselves, Georgia and Russia and France and Switzerland and so on.
I think we've only scratched the surface as usual, Brian. Cheers.
It's been a pleasure.
The Jameson Castmates and Tonics Social Serve Series. On Off the Ball. Always remember to drink responsibly.